This is the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Discover how to enhance your reputation as an attorney and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on wherever you are in this wonderful world. This is Tracy Murda with Secrets of Attorney in Medical Marketing, and today I have a wonderful guest, becoming a fast friend of mine as well, the lovely Kajenwa Moit, CEO of Zebra PR. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Tracy. It's so fun to be here with you.
And you are based today, anyway. Are you in Toronto? Are you in the New York office?
Today I'm in the Toronto office. The 25th I'll be in the New York office. So I'm often back and forth between two cities.
I love it. So tell me a little bit about Zebra PR. Let's back it up. Give me a little bit about your background, Kajenwa, and tell me what got you into PR, who you work with, just sort of all the different walks of life that you see, and then a little bit about Zebra.
Yeah. So I started this game of fame. I call it the fame game. I started as an actress on film. I had a friend approach me, and he had asked me at the time, probably about 20 years ago, whether I'd be interested in auditioning for a new television show that would be airing. It was about young people in Toronto. And I said, sure, I didn't have much. I didn't even have a headshot. I didn't even have a resume. I had nothing that actors should have. But I walked into that audition, and I just delivered. I delivered the character. I was confident in who I was as a person at a very young age. And pretty soon I had, a second callback and then a third callback. And then it was apparent that I would be booked for the film. So that was my first foray. It was getting into film. And I've met so many amazing, incredible actors. Anyone from Denzel, who, just released Fences, was his directorial debut. He was also an actor in the film. He's wearing two hats. I've met Angela Bassett, Eddie Griffin, all kinds of amazing, brilliant, beautiful actors. And I watched them on set. I watched them work. And I thought, this is tremendous to be able to stand up in front of the camera with a lot of pressure, with all of these people essentially looking at you delivering your scene, and have the confidence to be able to deliver. So I just loved the work of acting. And then soon I found that I wanted to start in production. I wanted to continue my journey in production and began working at the Toronto International Film Festival, which you may know, biggest film festival, much like the Cannes Film Festival. And I, began to understand the inner workings of production and managing a production. And it was really this work, my first job really was to secure the VIP tent when Jamie Foxx had debuted a film called Ray, beautiful biopic on Ray Charles. Yes. And I thought, this is the work I love. I love the work of execution and the lights. The lights are beautiful, but there is work that goes behind the art of making something really, really beautiful. And I really just kind of wanted to get more involved. And I remember just knowing all my life that I had to be in New York. It was just, it was like a moth to a flame, And sometimes you have certain callings in life. I call them, it's a calling, really. It's when you know, it's that light bulb moment when you know that you are supposed to do something with your life. And I knew I had to come to New York and make something of myself. I came to New York. I was what the Obamas would call the dreamer. I didn't have my landed papers. I came. I wanted to work for Puff Daddy. I showed up at his restaurant. He had a restaurant at the time on 23rd called Justin's. And I asked for a position as a waitress there, and they actually gave me the position. It's soon that I came to know that anything you want in life, you can actually have. And I'm trying to share this with other people. I'm trying to share that that ambition with other people and trying to communicate to others that you can have exactly what it is that you desire, you know, but there's the theory and there's the work behind it. There's the plan, right? So when the planning and the execution yield to the objective, then you're in a very good place. And that's how I formed Zebra. I came to New York. I hated my work as a waitress. I was a terrible waitress, actually, to be very honest with you. I couldn't balance a tray of martinis. Oh, my God. I mean, I was more interested in socializing with the guests instead of, you know, maintaining the work order. You know, people would ask me for rice and peas, and I'd key in, you know, macaroni pie or something. It was just a disaster.
But you probably knew the name of their firstborn, right?
I sure did. I was more excited about what party they'd be throwing and who would be there, you know. The thing is that, and I said this later in an interview with the Atlanta Business Journal, my philosophy now is that business leaders need to show up. Someone has asked why Puffy's restaurants had suddenly disappeared. Why have they just kind of died? And my theory was that as a leader, as a business leader, you've got to show up every day for your business in some capacity. And he never did, right? He never did. So people, you know, his people kind of ran the operation. There was no clear directive. And it's a good parallel for business and business today. For the leaders that I do work with, it's important that they are cognizant of everything that is happening in their business. Look at someone like Warren Buffett. The guy just knows who's in his Rolodex, and the same 250 people he needs to speak with today are not the same 50 people he needs to speak with next week.
Right.
So showing up is a big part of this, big, big part of this. Yeah. After my time as a waitress, I found an opportunity with a real estate firm, and you know, I dabbled in real estate, but it did show me what it would take to close a deal. It honed my skills. And to all of you listening out there, I would say, from everything you've ever experienced in your life, walk away from it just not thinking, well, that was a disaster. I really, really failed, or I'm a disaster, or that didn't work out. I'm really stupid to have gone forward with that. The question really is, what did I learn from the experience, right? What did I learn from the experience? So as a realtor, as a real estate minion, right, I'd run around New York City. So what I learned was New York City. I learned that entire city. I learned all the streets that New York City had to offer. I learned all the areas. I learned where people were. I learned what was appealing to young students coming to New York, whose parents were really, really nervous about letting them go. I learned how to close a deal. I learned how to make money. And pretty soon I discovered that one lease wasn't much different than the other. I had to continue forward. And I was actually really unhappy with my life at the time. I was in a really bad relationship. I felt stuck. I felt like I'd fallen. I didn't even think the relationship was really thriving. I felt like everything was coming to an end, and I wanted more. I wanted more. I would look at people at the restaurant, and I'd say, I want to be like that person or that person. And one day, I walked across the street on 57th and 6th into one of the hotels there. I think it was a Hilton. And I found that there was a beautiful MBA fair, with all of these kiosks set up. And I found the opportunity of a lifetime through Halt International Business School, which would be a one-year MBA that would take me to China. And China is always something that I had in my foresight, right? I'd seen all those Bugs Bunny shows. Do you remember the ones with Bugs Bunny that did to the other side of the world? he had his little hat on. Yeah, and I said, it's as far as I can think, and that's where I'd like to go. And I just studied for that GMAT like my life depended on it, let me tell you. So anything you want, you can have, right? It takes work. It takes perseverance. But I went to Boston. I went to China. I had a great time. I have international friends, colleagues from all around the world. And when I left in 2008, Tracy, guess what? Right? It's recession time.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. Oh, brother. You know, my dad called me and said, do you know what's happening in the stock market today? You know? And, of course, I just finished an MBA, but I still wasn't really clear on what the stock market was, you know. But what we garnered from that is people lost value in their portfolios, and it was feeling very much like the world was coming to an end. And Bernie Madoff, you know, had been taken down for this massive Ponzi scheme. I said, well, now is as good a time as any to start my own company. And I, you know, since it's something that I had in my mind, I've been working for everybody else's company, making everybody else money. And I said, if I put as much heart and as much soul and effort into creating something for me, I will be successful. And so there the entrepreneur journey began. And so I love speaking to entrepreneurs. I love speaking to solopreneurs, mompreneurs, you know, even companies that have taken off, that got their seed funding, because I know what it takes. You took that leap of faith. It's literally cliff dive. I call it a leap of faith because that's what it is. You know, you're not tethered to anything. You don't have anyone except for yourself. And your beliefs and what's in between your two ears to make it work, you know. But we took inspiration from companies like Groupon, who, you know, whose philosophy in 2008 was really what catapulted what I call, you know, the share economy. Companies like Airbnb now,
right?
You know, Uber. These are all share economy companies wherein you can participate and make money, earn, and also serve others.
So tell me a little bit about Zebra and, you know, who are your clients? Who do you service? And, again, you know, what is it that makes Zebra special and can lend to others?
So I think what makes Zebra special, and the PR market is oversaturated for sure. You know, we know in 2015 that the PR market has earned, you know, $14 billion in sales. So there is a need. While most might classify it as a nice to have and not a need to have, I would argue that it is, in fact, a need to have. Our specialty lies in our ability to cross markets. We help people cross over. We have had artists from Cancun, from Puebla in Mexico, cross over into the New York market and acquire a New York a standing in New York City at some of the galleries where they present, Agora Gallery, for example. We work with doctors. We work with psychologists. Dr. Gans Ferrans is a psychologist who specializes in stress, anxiety, and depression. He does a lot of television for CTV News, for CHED, for Alberta Primetime. And he helps people cope with the stress they feel on a daily level. They call him when there's been a suicide bomber at another school and how parents can deal with those things. We work with attorney Jeff Kravitz. Jeff Kravitz is an entertainment and IP attorney based out of Hollywood. His clients are Gwen Stefani, Will Smith. He worked on the estate of Biggie Smalls. He's so reputed for the work that he does. We work with media outlets like such as USA Business Radio and the U.S. Daily Business Review to place some of our clients and give them the exposure that they deserve and that they should be recognized for. What we seek are experts in their field. You don't want people who are just fame seekers. I'll never forget Tracy, who my first years in PR, I was so hungry and I really was so excited to be in the business. And I had a young chef who I felt was, you know, pretty talented. He had done some work for the Clintons, and he worked on Michael Bolton's tour when Michael Bolton was huge. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah, the hair.
Yeah, with the raspy voice. And so I felt like he had a little bit of a profile, and I was excited to work for him. But pretty soon it became apparent that all he cared about was becoming famous. So PR is not a free ticket to fame. PR is about communicating to a wider public what it is that you do and what makes you exceptional in your craft. And that's what we expect to do here at Zebra. We liken it to going to the store and seeing, you know, a box on a shelf. It's been left behind. It's a little bit dusty. Well, we really want to present at the front of that shelf, the best product that there ever was, and have it be, you know, removed off the shelf by client after client after client who wants it. We're really here to expose people and to give them their light. Well, that chef, of course, he was so obsessed with becoming famous that he was losing credibility in the kitchen, and actually the dishes that kept coming out weren't very good at all. And they were being sent back day after day, and he was losing a lot of money. And the day he launched his new restaurant, all he cared about was having a television station present. Well, we didn't get him a television station on the day of his launch, but we did maybe a month later. And would you believe that when that TV station came to give him an interview, his doors were locked because he hadn't paid his vendors, he hadn't paid his workers, and he was late on all his Con Edison bills, and that's what happened. So I only say this to communicate that you have to be an expert in your craft. You have to be really, really great at what you do and strive to continue learning. Let the publicists do their work, right? And in the absence of that, we will have opportunities for people to learn what it will take to initiate their own publicity in lieu of hiring a publicist, which is sometimes a very expensive cost, right? A lot of publicists in New York are starting at about $3,000 a month, and very much like attorneys, they are on retainers, right? So the expectation is that you can pay the bill month after month after month. But I think what makes us special is having come out of this recession, Tracy, is we call ourselves the recessionistas. We tend to price a little bit lower than what traditional agencies are charging because we understand that money is, you know, not, money is not cheap. It's not easy, right? It's not necessarily easy to write out that kind of check month after month when you've got other bills and other things going on, right? So, yes, those are some of the areas in which we truly differ.
So, my dear, tell me about your experience in how do you find, you know, small business owners? Are they understanding what PR is? Is it important for even the small guys who don't have these massive, you know, marketing and PR budgets to utilize PR methods? Just give me a little bit of an understanding how, you know, some of our listeners, our doctors and attorneys, can grasp onto some of these, you know, free or, you know, limited amounts of, marketing budgets, how they can take advantage of some of these things that are out there.
Yes. So we find our clients primarily through word of mouth. As an entrepreneur, you have to know that referral business is your biggest business. If you take out a piece of paper right now and you draw a circle and that's your pie, I want you to split the pie according to how many people have come knocking on your doors or calling on your phone from another client that referred. And then I want you to think about how many clients you obtained from communications and social media. So by LinkedIn, Facebook, or let's say Instagram or Twitter. And then I want you to think about how many clients you've acquired through advertising means. That means you took out an ad in the paper, or you have a billboard on the side of the bus, or maybe you put a commercial together and you are distributing it through YouTube, or maybe through your local channel. And then I want you to think about how many clients you've acquired from having attended, say, a speaking engagement. So once you've looked at your pie, you're going to have a better understanding of where your strengths lie in acquiring clients. For us, our strengths are in our existing clients. Those we call those are our goals, right? And for you entrepreneurs who are listening out there, just know that your existing clients that pay you, that's your goals, right? And you've got to treat them so well, and you've got to continue to support them so that they can continue to support you in referring out business. So let's say I have entrepreneurs every day who say to me, well, how do I double my business? I'd like to double my business. Well, it starts with the existing clients that you do have. And then you might devise certain tactics. So we will show our entrepreneurs how to devise tactics to encourage existing clients to refer more business. And there are different strategies that we can use. Sometimes it's by a qualifying survey, for example. Sometimes it's by outreach, right? You have to reach out. Too many of us have, it's what some of my business coaches would call, right? So everyone here agrees, right, that we all need coaching, right? Does everyone agree that we need coaching? Even at the highest level, from, you know, Tiger Woods to Michael Jordan to, you know, Barack Obama, you know, we all have consultants. We all have people that we refer to help us. So too many of us are collecting and not communicating. So what I mean by that is your LinkedIn database, or all the people that you've collected in your LinkedIn, need communication. I'm not talking about a blanket statement in a post or in your feed. I'm talking about, Tracy, how are you doing today? How is your business going? What can I do to serve you? What can I do to in what way can I serve you? So outreach is critical, and we've forgotten that somewhere along the way. You know, we've really forgotten the art of communication and customization. And it's not the blanket text that everyone hates. That when I get them, I just delete them. I just don't even respond. I'll probably delete, or it might earn you a block if I get too many of them. So it's important to communicate and also to customize your communication. It's okay to have a canned communication, you know, two or three lines, but, you know, the first line may change accordingly based on where you've met that person, what they mean to you, how best you can work together in what we call the joint venture, right, which is a referral partnership, essentially.
Oh, you have a really exciting new program coming up, sort of a do-it-yourself PR program. Tell me a little bit about that and how our listeners could perhaps participate, and what, you know, simple steps you can take that you'll learn in that seminar that people can take home with them.
Yeah, so we have met so many entrepreneurs, and of course we want to work with everyone one-on-one. We absolutely do. And yet there are only 24 hours in the day. And so what we've garnered from having speaking with the plethora of entrepreneurs, from CEOs to clean energy executives to doctors and lawyers and artists and entertainment folks, is that they would like a specific set of actions, a specific set of recommendations that they can take to enhance their public relations initiatives and their campaigns, right, internally. Many of the large companies, anyone from Procter & Gamble to, name a company, right? Apple, right at this stage, will have an internal PR company handling their efforts. But for those of us who are a little bit smaller, maybe we have 5 folks on our team, maybe it's just us, maybe it's 10 people or more, we would like strategies. So we've created PRDIY, so everyone knows what DIY is, right, in the U.S. at least. It's do-it-yourself. And it's a little bit controversial because most publicists will tell you that it's impossible to do things yourself, but there are specific things that you can do. And so what we'll look at in this time together is what we need to do in the realm of social media, what we need to do in the realm of traditional media being television, radio. How do we get on the radio? How do we get on the television? How do we get in print magazines as the industry is changing? And then we'll look at word of mouth marketing, which is the biggest one, right? So if you guys have jotted down your little pies, you'll probably see that word of mouth counts for a lot in business because that's how you touch people, right? Person to person. I'm talking speaking engagements. I'm talking events that you attend. I'm talking events that your brand attends, right? It's important for business leaders to understand that they may be the business leader, but the brand is its own entity, right? Just as you would set up your company has its own LLC, and you have a separate social security number, and your company has an EIN number, it's about presenting the brand in word of mouth. And then increasingly, mobile media marketing. So you may notice that you're receiving texts from people who are trying to reach out or communicate with you. So how best can we initiate our PR efforts in mobile media communication? So this is an introduction for entrepreneurs to public relations, and everyone will have homework assignments and must complete them in time for the next class. We have a projected start date of February the 25th. We wanted to leave things on a Saturday at 1 p.m. so you can just grab a cup of coffee, grab your scone if you like scones, and have a chat. We're going to be hosting these meetings by Zoom, so they're going to be people will be able to have direct access to me and to some of the guests that I'm having on. We're actually having on, I love it, we're having the former editor-in-chief of Marie Claire for the traditional media segment. So it'll be great.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. And we've priced it super low at $197. So, of course, please do reach out. All you have to do is send me a note at zebrapublicrelations.com. Zebra like the animal. And a lot of people ask me why zebra. You wouldn't forget it. And that's what we know, right? We want you to be the kinds of entrepreneurs that nobody forgets. So zebrapublicrelations.com, or, of course, you can give us a jingle at 917-714-0152 and speak with any one of our Dream Team members who will certainly handle your call or field your questions.
Well, Gemma, I appreciate your time today and for sharing all of this vast knowledge and experience on public relations and why it is so important to any business, especially our small business partners. Again, if anyone would like to reach out to you to learn more about the DIY course or perhaps Zebra PR as well, what is the website and contact information once again?
Of course. So come visit at zebrapublicrelations.com. And, of course, you can always give us a jingle at 917-714-0152. And, again, of course, if you don't write your own story, someone else will for you. So, yes.
Thank you again, Gemma Moit of Zebra PR. I thank you so much, my dear, and you and I will talk very soon.
Sounds amazing, Tracy. It was a great chat. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you. Take care. We'll circle back perhaps later this week or next and see what else we can do together.
Sounds amazing. Looking forward to all of it.
All right, my dear. Well, you take care and go kiss that beautiful child of yours.
You as well. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you
soon. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye, Tracy.
You've been listening to the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Call 888-225-8594 or email rj@speakeasymarketinginc.com to enhance your reputation and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.